She did, don't walk away yet. Give us 30 seconds. And I'm here. Okay, I hereby call this Thursday, November 14th, 2019 meeting of the Northern Virginia Transportation Authority to order. Ms. Duker, would you call the roll?
Chairman Newby?
Here.
Vice Chair Boudna?
Here.
Chairman Palova?
Here.
Mayor Parrish?
Here.
Councilmember Snyder?
Mr. Lipkin,
not here. Ms.
Ross,
yes.
House?
Yeah, it's perfect.
Here.
Vice Chair Gavi?
Here.
Mayor Maya? Mayor Wilson? Mayor Richelle?
Here.
Senator Black?
Here.
Delegate Hugo? Mr. Minchu?
Here.
Ms. Hines?
Here.
Mr. Cole?
Here.
Mayor Wood?
Present.
Ms. Quibble?
Here.
Mr. Hosley?
Here.
Chair Newby, we have a call.
Excellent. Thank you very much. Before us, we have the minutes of the October 10th meeting.
So
moved. Motion by Mr. Parrish.
As amended.
As amended. Yes. As amended. Ms. Richel, do you want to address the amendments or sort of accept them as...
I'm sorry, what?
We're taking up the minutes. I believe there's an amendment in our packet that you requested. Do you want to address them or is the amendment good enough for you?
It is fine. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
So we have a motion from Mr. Parrish. I think that was a second from Ms. Hines, actually.
sure.
Any discussion on these? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you.
Abstain.
Abstention from Mr. Gwoda, from Ms. Garvey, and from Ms. Lipkinhouse. And also need to abstain. That's it. Thank you. All right. BB Mayors is here. You guys have made a good time. we first have the FY 2019 audit presentation. Mr. Garber.
Somebody's been doing such a great job with traffic. Some of these groups are doing wonderful. And we just stepped right up here. Come up with 6 minutes. Doesn't matter. Good. Thank you, sir. If y'all remember last year, I had my Steelers tie on because they were playing that Thursday night like they are this year. But they lost, so I didn't wear it. And I'm hoping this doesn't mean it's going to snow.
That's a bunch of us, probably.
Yeah. I will be very quick. As you can see, I think you've got received the financial statements ahead of time. I think they also received this report dated to the board members dated October 10th. I met with the Audit and Finance Committee a month ago around that October 10th date to go through the audit and things of that nature in detail with that group. And so I'm not going to go through as much detail here this evening. Just a couple things on the financial statements. One, there are the opinions that are in there. The opinion on the financial statements themselves is an unmodified opinion, which is a clean opinion. It's the one that you're looking for. In the very back, there is also an opinion on internal control and compliance. That opinion also is unmodified. There were no items that we thought needed to be pointed out with our tests and things that we did with compliance or internal controls. In the financial statements themselves, I only want to focus on one or two statements real quickly. On page 17 is the balance sheet of the governmental funds, and which is where we have our general fund, our local distribution fund, and our regional revenue fund. And that regional revenue fund is the third column there, it's the middle column on page 17. And if you look down into the equity section under fund balances, there's a restricted for appropriated project fund. It's $890 million. So as we look at this balance sheet and we're sitting on really a little over $1 billion of investments, and we think we've got, which is a lot of money, $1 billion investments, pretty nice to have. Most of that, if not all, $890 million of that has already been restricted for its use for projects that we have in place. And if you're looking for what are those projects, on page 70 and 71 in the very back of the financial statements is a list of those projects that you have approved. It lists out how much those projects were budgeted to take, what's been spent, and then what's still deep to be spent to date. And it's very small print, and I do apologize for that, but at the bottom of page 71, there's a column called Remaining Appropriation, and you'll see that same $889 or $890 million number. So you can see all the projects that are outstanding, that are being worked on, which is one of the reasons I was able to get up there so quickly. So I think that's really the most important piece of the financial statements themselves, obviously after the opinions that are clean on the financial statement. There's no questions or comments on that. The last document, again, I went over this with the Audit and Finance Committee. This just details out what we do as auditors, the compliance that we follow, and the guidelines that we use to do the audit. We also discuss in that document if there were any audit adjustments, which there were none. If we had any adjustments that we mentioned to management that they said, no, we're going to pass on that adjustment, there were none of those. If we had any issues, difficulties gathering information, getting questions answered, there were none. But if we did have those types of problems, they would have been detailed out in here as well. So as I've said to many of you before, in this report, it's not necessarily what's in here, it's what's not written. And that's a good thing. If I had to write extra stuff, then it means there were problems. So with that, and then behind there, of course, is just a copy of the arrangement letter and a copy of the representation letter that management gives to us when we complete the project. Don't really have anything else prepared to go over this evening, but I'm happy to answer any questions that you have.
Mr. Chair.
Mr. Perry.
Thank you very much. Mr. Carver, thank you for being here with us tonight. Just to report to the members of the authority, Mr. Garber communicated with myself as well as staff, of course, over the time that they were taking up the audit, and met successfully, I might add, with the Finance Committee. And we discussed in more detail than tonight the results of the audit. And of course, it's a clean audit, which is always good. And so I'd like to make a motion, Mr. Chairman, if I may. I move authority acceptance of the Northern Virginia Transportation Authority financial and compliance audit reports for the fiscal year ending June 30th, 2019.
Second. I move a motion to second. Is there any questions or discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries unanimously.
Thank you. And I'd be remiss. I forgot to introduce Tyler Farnsworth. Tyler's with me. Tyler's the in-charge. He's here every day working on the audit, works closely with Peggy, and getting these financials and all these reports to the place that you see them today. And I forgot to introduce him because he's usually not with me. But I wanted to bring him along and introduce him to the group this evening. So.
Thank you very much. Thanks. Mr. Trout. Having already moved into action items, we've got a couple of policy revisions. The policy were very well, just Mr. Longo, I should say.
Thank you, Chairman Noe. Both of the policy revisions for Policy 19 and Policy 20 are driven by legislative changes in the 2019 session, and there are our methodology to implement those changes. The background is pretty much the same for both of these, so I'm going to go into a little depth on 19 and try to listen to 20 really faster. Policy 19 refers to the local distribution fund, commonly known as the 30% funds. Senate Bill 1468, which was paid for by Senator Black, provides the authority the flexibility to pay operating expenses out of the regional revenue fund, which will be addressed in Policy 20. But we need to note it here because it's effectively an option instead of the money coming out of the 30% funds that goes to localities. Senate Bill 1716 incorporates the funding that was related to the I-81 corridor improvements. It notes that we note that the Commonwealth had projected that we would receive $9.4 million this year, and then $13.8 million next, and then just under $20 million from 22 on. I do have to note that we have 3 months of the fiscal year, and we've discussed this with the Finance Committee. And thus far, those revenues are coming in way below projections. We needed to be bringing in roughly $783 million a month in order to make the $9 million. We're on a trajectory for 12 months to only bring in $1.7. We have, as we have discussed with Finance, made some outreach to the Commonwealth to find out if this is a processing error. You know, maybe something's jammed up in the system.
We've gotten some preliminary feedback. Hopefully we'll have some more news and present it to finance either later this month or next month, but certainly we are watching this number very carefully. The SB 1716 monies were not incorporated in the revenue projections for the two-year update. So any impact of this bill will only be positive, and we hope it will be $9 million positive rather than 1.7. But we'll keep you posted on that. I just didn't want to be talking about that number and not note that we have such a large difference on that. To detail the changes a little bit, policy 19 must be changed to reflect the loss of the grantors and the transient occupancy taxes in 2018. We also made changes to improve the clarity relative to the annual certification process and the overall document. The changes related to 1716 are highlighted in yellow. All of the rest of the changes are basically updating the wording, updating some code sections, and just more kind of administrative. These changes were reviewed with the council councils. They were reviewed by bond council, and they were reviewed by our financial advisor. And with that, that would end my discussion on 19.
I guess there's any questions, discussion?
Mr. Chairman, move the acceptance of the policy revision.
Second.
Motion from Mr. Parrish, second from Ms. Grishel. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Excellent, thank you. Number 20.
Number 20, basically the same background, a little bit more detail on the impact of Senate Bill 1468. Again, this fund does not isn't involved in that exact transaction, but there is a considerable amount of rewording in here to make sure that our flow of funds statements is compliant with the state code, as well as our bond indenture. There was a lot of sensitivity to that, and a lot of work with our financial advisor and bond counsel and council to make sure that that we were making the right changes there. Additionally, the 1716 funds are not bondable, which is why we had to make all of those wording changes. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to take out a couple sections and highlight it in yellow and say these are the only ones that are really material. As you can see, there were rather extensive changes. But you know, these changes preserve our master indenture and will allow us to process this revenue as a city. With that, if there's any questions?
Any questions or comments?
Okay. Make the same motion with regard to policy number 20.
Is there second from
Ms. Garvey? Here we go.
No words.
Got to get one in.
I do.
The alternate, you got to get a first or a second in. There you go. Yeah, I'm coming to you guys. Don't worry. Okay. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you, Ms. Welby.
Thank you.
Ms. Batman, 2020 meeting schedule.
Mr. Chairman, as we have done in years past, we are proposing that the authority continues to meet the second Thursday of each month at 7 p.m. There are some caveats noted in this schedule. I do want to note for April, the month of April, we are proposing that we meet the third Thursday of the month because the second Thursday falls in line with spring break and Passover. And we did not want to meet the first Thursday of the month because MBTC and PRTC generally meets the first Thursday of the month. Also to note, as usual, no August meeting unless special circumstances would require and you would dictate what those special circumstances are. Noting the December meeting, the time is moved up, the meeting time is moved up by an hour to 6 p.m. because the Northern Virginia Regional Commission generally meets the same night due to the Christmas holiday. Also, the last thing I'd like to draw your attention to regarding January, it is that time of year, believe it or not, or time of season, I should say, to start the update to our long-range transportation plan. You adopted the update of transaction in October of 2017. It takes us about 2.5 years in total to do from the start to adoption. We are proposing to have a listening session in January prior to the start of the authority meeting, and we are working on the details for that. So I did want to note that. It would be. because we do need the authority meeting to start at 7. So we will have an open house for staff. We'll talk to stakeholders or any attendees. Then we'll have a listening session, and from there we will end the listening session and then commence the start of the authority meeting.
Okay. Any questions, comments? All right, I'll look to Mr. Lipkenhouse for a motion on the calendar.
Motion.
Second for Mr. Bowler. No, sir. Alternates always get to make at least one motion or second.
That's right. Thanks for putting me on that.
You're on the record. No one will ever say you did not attend this meeting.
That's right.
All right. Thank you for that motion and second. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Thank you very much. Those are all the action items, correct?
Yes.
So let me add this. We have other items for discussion. Those are all the action items for tonight. If there's anyone who needs to boogie to get to the MBTC meeting, now would be enough.
So I'm supposed to stay just to check out one item, so
okay, that's fine.
I promise.
I'm no longer worried about a quorum.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I appreciate it.
All right. Governance and Personnel Report, we're going to... Mr. Minchie, you were the chair tonight, so you can.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm stepping for Chair Randall to chair the Governance and Personnel Committee. And looking at our agenda, the very first thing we brought up was our draft legislative program, which is a review of where things are at. Ms. Baynard can take the ball from here, Mr. Chairman, and tell you what we talked about.
Thanks. Before you was a document that's been reviewed twice by the Governance and Personnel Committee. We've had a couple of updates to what our previous policies have been. I think what is consistent that we had this year is, again, the focus on restoration of the authority's monies due to the Metro capital funding activity in 2018. And our second priority is joining with the Association of Virginia Treasurers, to amend the Virginia Investment of Public Funds Act to include Fitch ratings, and it's a very technical thing, but it will make life easier for the Finance Committee as they're making decisions for us. In regards to restoration of the funding, we all know that at this point we're about $82 million short of the $102 million that was initially of regional and local funds that were transferred to the Metro Capital Fund, and our request is that we get restored as soon as we can, as much as we can, with a substantial focus on the state stepping up to the plate and providing some of that funding, if not all of that. What we understand is that the administration is very interested in taking a look at this. Secretary Valentine has been very consistent in the last 30 days of speaking to the need to restore funding to the authority. I think it also helped us that a majority of members and candidates were running for General Assembly seats this year, when they spoke about transportation, always mentioned the hole that was created for the authority. It has been a constant beat on that. I can also share that many of the business community, chambers of commerce in particular, that we all know, you all are active in, also have that as one of their priorities going into the 2020 session. So stay tuned. There'll be more, hopefully more details. I'd get them sooner, but we may have to wait until the governor presents his budget on December 17th and what direction we will go. Once, as we did last time as discussed, we will have a set of principles that you all will agree to on how we review any of those proposals, some of the things we're looking for. Moving forward, so that's in yellow in your document. Most of the document was just really updated to reflect actions that happened in the 2019 session, and we wanted to make sure that Smart Scale dealt with transparency in its data by continuing having Smart Scale as the way we prioritize projects, and I think that's going to move forward. And those were the major changes. I think this will be sent out again to the full authority before our December meeting for any comments. So I can answer any questions at this point that anyone would have, or there might be comments.
Questions, comments? We're adopting next month, yes?
Yes, we're adopting next month.
Okay.
John, thank you.
Next, we have the FY19 Joint Commission on Transportation Accountability Annual Report, Mr. Nampamphiri.
Well, I'll just say, Mr. Chairman, attached in your, included in your packet is the annual report that we're required to present to the JCTA annually. The report is due November 15th of each year. So in your packet, and it really details how the authority is expending the revenues received. So the report is in your packet. Please let me know if you have any questions.
Have we been asked to present to them this year?
No, not as of yet. We have not. Yeah, and I will note this report is always different from the annual report that we do, that we present to the authority at the beginning of the year, because that report is a calendar year report. This report, because it's due by November 15th, we haven't really closed out all of our financials.
Any questions on the report? Fantastic, thank you. Mr. Parrish, anything else to come from the Finance Committee?
Other than a couple of items on the second page of the memo, you're going to hear some more about reimbursement parameters study that is going to take place. And a little further, we're going to bring up Policy 29 report for the next week for the Finance Committee. And just a reminder to the members of the Finance Committee, we do meet next week, 1 o'clock on Thursday, as I remember. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you very much. Mr. Longy, anything else for us?
Nothing to add to the written report, sir.
It is Backman.
It's in my staff report, Mr. Chairman.
Fantastic. Chairman's comments. Just a reminder that next month's meeting will be on the second Thursday, but it will be at 6 p.m., not 7 p.m.
6 p.m.
And it will not be in this building. It will be at the Northern Virginia Association of Realtors office, which Ms. Bachman and I have a long-standing argument about how far away it is. I say it's right across the street. Where she says it's right across the street, I say it's up around the corner.
You can't walk there from here.
I would not. It's very clear that you cannot walk there from here.
Walk there from here. You could. I would not recommend it.
At night, I would not even chance it.
You can walk the distance-wise.
Yes.
And there are generally pedestrian facilities between here and there. But this time of year, crossing Route 50 in the evening is precarious.
That's where I'm at.
There's plenty of parking.
There's extensive parking in Virginia Association of Realtors. But our meeting is at 6. We'll be adjourned probably before 7. We'll then have our end of the year celebration afterwards.
We will, and we will have your annual report. We're doing things a little different this year, so we will present the annual report as well, noting the accomplishments and the milestones that the authority had for 2019.
Okay. And after this, I will now recognize a motion to go into closed session to discuss one personnel matter pertaining to the review of an employee subject to Virginia Code Section 2.2-3711A1.
So moved. Second.
We have a motion to second. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. I need everyone but authority members to leave the room. Mr. Longy, stay close.
You never know.